We're on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Everybody has Gimel, Daf Gimel there still, and I have Dalet and Hay over here. I'll give it out when we get there. We're on the third line, Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya, on Gimel Amud Aleph. Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya b'shem Rabbi Chanina. Rav Shmuel Bar Chiya said, "Inei Rabbi Chanina, hisko gaga chama l'shakea." This interesting thing. This part of it is brought down in the Bavli, but not the entire statement. When the sun goes down, starts going down. Adam omed v'rosh har Carmel. A person stands on the head of the top of har Carmel, right? You all know where that is, near Haifa. But they knew, well, you'll see a specific point which we're not aware of exactly. The Yore Vitova Bayam, if you zoom down and go into, dip down into the ocean, you take a twilight dive, the Ole, and you come on up, the Ocha B'Trumaso, and for a coin you go to eat Truma, Chazoka B'Yom Tova. We assume that you were Tovo during the day. Now, what does that mean? That means that when the sun starts setting, there's a certain interval until it completely sets. 4 minutes, generally speaking. So therefore, if you run down the mountain quickly, then you can go, jump into the water, and you still made it by the before sundown. And that's okay. So when you come back up, you can eat truma. Now, bear this in mind. In order to eat truma, you have to go to the mikveh before sunset, and then you need harif shemesh. You need the sun to set afterwards. You need two components to eat truma if you were tomei, both tvila and harif shemesh. So this way, if when you saw the sun, if you were standing at the top of Har Carmel, and you saw the sun start to set, and uh-oh, and you ran down quickly, and you went to the mikveh, then when you come up, and of course it gets to tzeis ha-kochavim, then you can eat your truma. Now, Hada de Tamar, this is, you should know that this is specifically, Hada means this, de Tamar, you can only say, Bahuda Azile Bekapandaria, by a guy who goes down the shortcut. Kapandaria in Aramaic is a shortcut. Barama, who Azile Bista Israta, if you go down the main road, Lo Bida. That's not what we're talking about. So they knew specifically they had the main road which went down the Carmel to the Mediterranean, and they had the shortcut. So we're talking specifically about when you go down the shortcut, then it takes 4 minutes or less, and by the time you get down to the bottom of the mountain, so you're in the sea before the sun sets.
You have to avoid traffic.
Right, you have to avoid traffic, right? It's, take the Carmelites. Okay? Ezu ben Ashmashos, what is twilight? Amar Rabbi Tanchuma said, Letipo shel dam. This is a very gory mashal, but it's because the sun, when it sets, very often looks red. So it's like a drop of blood, shinesuna agabi chadosh shel saif, which you put on the tip of a dagger. Nechlecho atipo lekan lekan, the time it takes for the drop to separate in each direction, Zel Bein Ashmoshos, that's the time of twilight. Which is basically a moment, and then where it's going to go on in the steam, and this is an important thing to realize, that our Tzeis HaKochavim, which we wait, you know, after Shabbos, 40 minutes, or 50 minutes, or 72 minutes, this is not something which the Yerushalmi was aware of, right? This is something, especially, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the sun sets much quicker than it does in, Northern Europe and places like that. So therefore, they had a very quick Bein HaShmoshos, relatively speaking. It took a very short amount of time. The amount of time which would take the drop of blood to split on either side of this dagger and fall down.
Does that mean coagulating? Or
no, as long as it doesn't dripping. Coagulate, right. Dripping, right. It's a little bit slower than water, though, obviously, because water, you know, it has some consistency to
viscous,
it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Ezu ben Ashmoshos, and in line with this theme, the Gemara goes on. Ezu ben Ashmoshos, what is twilight? Mishatishka chama, from the time the sun sets, Kadeshia halich odom chatzi mil. The amount of time it takes a person to walk a half a meal. Half a meal is approximately 12 minutes, depending whether some people hold the meal is 18 minutes, so half a meal will be 9 minutes. Generally, it's accepted that a meal is 24 minutes, so this would be 12 minutes. So, Ezu ben Ashmoshos, Mishatishka Chama, once the sun is set, twilight is Kadeshi Halich Odom Chatzi Meal, the amount of time it takes a person to walk a half a meal. Divi Rabbi Nechemet, that's Rabbi Nechemet's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Bein Hashmoshos Kerafayin. Bein Hashmoshos is like the fluttering of an eye. V'lo yochlu la'amor olov chachomim. Chachomim, however, could not determine exactly what it is. In other words, we'll see exactly what this means in a moment, but there's a question as to when exactly this Bein Hashmoshos takes place, but it's like the fluttering of the eye. Now we're going to go along and we'll discuss this further. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Acha have a Yasmin. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Acha were sitting. Rabbi Yossi l'Rav Acha, so Rabbi Yossi said to Rav Acha, Lo mistabra sof chatzi mil de Rabbi Nechemia. Don't you hold. Lo mistabra here means, usually means, does it not make sense? But here means, don't you hold? Aren't you savur? Aren't you of the opinion that sof chatzi mil de Rabbi Nechemia keherefayin de Rabbi Yossi? That when does the herefayin of Rabbi Yossi take place? At the end of the chatzi mil of Rabbi Nechemia. In other words, the Rabbi Yossi is tacking on to the half a mil of the half a mil of Rabbi Nechemia, another fluttering of the eye at the end, which means a short amount of time. You know, I think I mistranslated before or left it vague. When it says they didn't know precisely what a herifying is, but he's saying when does the herifying take place? Whatever it is, it takes place at the end of the 9 or 12 minutes, right? So you have, according to Rabbi Yossi, you have the half meal plus another herifying afterwards. Okay?
Isn't it at the end of the half meal of Rabbi Nechemia that the herifying of Rabbi Yossi takes place? So he said, Rav Acha said, I also hold that way. I agree with you. Rabbi Chizki.
The first one is a very large number. There's a lack of tolerance in that number, you know? A flutter of an eye this way, a flutter of an eye that way. Maybe
yeah.
A flutter of an eye this way.
Right.
That way. So was he adding the flutter of.
It's a good question. You're asking a good question. No, it's important that we see further in order to understand what's going on here, because the Gemara is going to clarify this matter. Rabbi Chizki lo amar kein. Rabbi Chizki, however, did not say this way. In other words, Rabbi Acha says, I agree with you, it's Rabbi Yossi. This is a different Rabbi Yossi than the Tana, obviously. This is an Amora Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, I agree with you. Okay, that's true. However, you should know Rabbi Chizki doesn't agree with you. Rabbi Chizki lo amar kein. Ela kol herifayin veherifayin shebechatzi mil de Rabbi Nechemia sofeku. Very interesting svara. He says that that according to Rabbi Chizkiya, the herifayin is not at the end of the chatzi mil. Now let's think about this for a minute. According to Rabbi Nechemia, you have a half a meal, and during that time, for sure, it's Ben Hashmoshos. It's or at least it might even still be daylight, but certainly not nightfall yet. And afterwards, you have another herifayin according to Rabbi Yossi, and then it's nightfall. According to this interpretation of Chizkiya, during those 12 minutes, at some point in those 12 minutes, the batting of the eye occurs, which causes the change from day to night. It's just we don't know when that batting of the eye occurs, so that really addresses your question, right? Yes. Okay, so Rabbi Chizki holds that this the machlokas is not so much, you know, where what the herifayin is, but where to place the herifayin. Is the herifayin definitely at the end of the 12 minutes, or sometime during those 12 minutes that we don't know when? Okay? So that's what Rabbi Chizki says. So now we have two kashas of Rabbi Chizki. The Gemara is basically going to refute Rabbi Chizki. Amar Rabbi Yana, Marimona. Ramona said, I asked Kash Yisei Kuma de Rabbi Chizkiya. I asked the Kash from Rabbi Chizkiya, from the Vifayim Braisa. Katanina Tamon, when we learned over there, is a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa, it's a Mishnah in Zavim. It says, Lo Achas B'yoyim V'Achas B'Bein Hashmoshos. Or Achas B'Bein Hashmoshos V'Achas L'Mochar. Now, let's talk about Zavim a little bit, how you become a Zav. You become a Zav by seeing a Zav Gadol, or I should say, who has to wait for 7 days. It was told me for 7 days, you become a Zav Gadol by seeing three times, three separate occasions of an emission coming from yourself. Okay? If you see an emission three times, three separate emissions, then you become a Zav Gadol. Now these three emissions can be divided in two ways. Either be by being separate or by being over the course of a couple of days. Okay, if the course of 3 days. But if you had a continuous flow from one day to another day, then it's considered to be like two separate flows, two separate emissions. Also, if the emission is long enough, a certain shear, so it brings down here, the shear is, the Bnei Moshe brings down that the shear is the amount of time it takes to go down to the mikveh and dry yourself. That's in the Bnei Moshe, four lines to the bottom in the second column. So if it's that long, then it's also considered as if it's two separate emissions. Okay, so the three ways in which you can get up to three emissions, by having three separate emissions, by having them in the course of 3 days, or by having one emission which is long enough to go down to a mikveh and come up again and dry yourself off. Okay, so those are three separate ways of having it. So now, let's go back to this Mishnah again. To Katnina Tamon, we learned to Katnina Tamon, like when we learned over there in Zavim, Ra Achas B'yoyim. You see one emission during the day. V'achas Bein HaShmashos, and one emission during twilight. Oh, this is gonna cause problems. Because maybe that one during twilight we can divide into two, right? Because one might be relevant to the previous day, and one relevant to the coming day. Or similarly, Achaz Bein HaShmashos, you saw one of the one emission during Bein HaShmashos, V'achaz L'mocha, one the next day. So it says the Mishnah, this is all the Mishnah so far, Imyodea, if you know, Shemitza Saria Me'ayom, if you know that one part of your that one long emission was from today, and part of it from the next day. So then what do you have? You have three separate emissions. So then, vaday lutuma lukura korban. You are certainly a zav, you have three emissions, boom, 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 and you have your tummy 7 days, and at the end of those 7 days, you have to bring a korban. Okay? Vim safek. If you're not sure, shmikta sariya me'ayom miktsasa l'machar. If you're not sure if part of the riyah was from today and part of it was from yesterday, part of it, then vaday lutuma, you certainly are tummy, because tummy, you're tummy no matter what. I'm just trying to make sure what kind of tumah it is. If after two, you might also be tummy for 7 days, but you don't have to bring a korban. Yes. Okay. If you had two rios, two emissions, you don't have to bring a korban, but you are still tummy for 7 days nonetheless. Okay? The difference is, again, somebody who is obviously shtei rios, he's tummy for 7 days, but he doesn't have to bring a korban. A zav who sees three rios, three emissions, he's tummy for 7 days, and he has to bring a korban as well. Okay? So, im safik shemitzas ayo riyo miyayo mitzas l'machar, vade l'tuma, vade v'safik l'korban. You are in that case, a vade for tuma and a safik for a korban. Now, that's the end of the kasha. What's the kasha from the Mishnah on Rabbi Chizkiyah? It's a very good kasha, Rabbi Chizkiyah. You know what the kasha is? The kasha is, how can you have lichora in this case? You're never going to have a scenario in which you're not going to have part from today and part from tomorrow. At least the suffix part from today and part from tomorrow. You see why? Because according to Rabbi Chizkiyah, each and every moment of the each and every moment of that Bein HaShmashos is going to be a suffix, whether it's today or the next day, right? So that, you know what, let me just check that I'm saying the right shot. Let me check in my rabbi from Pittsburgh, because I'm not sure. 1 second. This is the question. The question is like this. The question is that how can you have, I messed up a little bit, how can you have a cool question whether it's going to be Vade Mina, where are my other pages? We're on Daf Gimel on the base. We had a opinion which we're asking Kasha. Now Rabbi Chizkiyah has said that each and every moment of the Bein HaShmashos of twilight, which is 12 minutes long in total, each and every moment of Bein HaShmashos is a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. We don't know which moment the day changes from one day to the next day. Now, that was Rabbi Chizkiah's opinion. Now we have a kasha, Rabbi Chizkiah. The kasha is like this: the Mishnah Zovim says that if you saw a re'iyah during Bein Hashmashos, and you know Vaday, one part of it was from yesterday, and one part of it was today, one yet a mission during twilight, and you know one part of it was from yesterday, and one part of it is from today, then it counts as if it's two emissions, because each day is considered to be a separate emission. So now the Gemara has a very good kasha, Rabbi Chizkiah. This is the kasha. The kasha, Rabbi Chizkiah, is how can you know that one? That if you saw Bein Hashmashos, how is it ever possible to have a scenario that you know that Vaday part of it was from yesterday and Vaday part of it is from today? It's not possible to have such a scenario. According to Rabbi Chizkiah, each and every moment of Bein Hashmashos is a question whether it's from yesterday or from today. We never know. There's never a moment Bein Hashmashos which we know with certainty is part of yesterday, and another moment, the next moment, is part of today. Like Chizkiah, it's very difficult. Again, according to Rabbi Chizkiah, you can never divide Bein Hashmashos in two, because the Mishnah Zavim says that there's a part of Bein Hashmashos which you sure has to do with yesterday, and a part of Bein Hashmashos which you know for sure has to do with tomorrow. But that's not true according to Rabbi Chizkiah. According to Rabbi Chizkiah, each and every moment of Bein Hashmashos, we don't know if it's yesterday's or if it's today's, if it's yesterday's or if it's today's. So how is it ever possible to have a scenario in which it's Vaday yesterday or Vaday today? It's not shy of such a thing.
So can't you just answer Rabbi Chizkiah doesn't hold from the Mishnah?
Yeah, the thing is, Rabbi Chizkiah is an Amora. It's an Israeli Amora. And this is an important thing to know about the Yerushalmi. The Israeli Amoraim were called Rabbi. We know the rate from the Bavli, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Israeli Amoraim were called Rabbi because they still had the real smicha. The real smicha was lost in Eretz Yisrael later than it was lost in Bavel. So therefore, the Babylonian Amoraim were called Rav because they had, you know, Yore Yore, they had not the real smicha. Smicha which we have nowadays. But it was much better than ours. But they had smicha, the modern smicha, as opposed to the ones in Eretz Yisrael, they had the true smicha which came down from Moshe Rabbeinu. So they were called Rabbi. So when you in Yerushalmi, it's much harder to distinguish between Tanoim and Amoroim because they're all called Rabbi. But Rabbi Chizkiah is really Amora, and he's the one who said that each and every moment of Bein Hashmashos is a Zavik. So therefore we're asking a Kashanim from the Mishnah and Zavim, where we see clearly that there are, as part of Bein Hashmashos, which is certainly day, and part of Bein Hashmashos, which is certainly night. Okay, that's one Kasha. Yes, that's true, but that's not the case in the Mishnah and Zavim. Yeah, if it went from the day through Bein Hashmashos into the night, then of course you'd have 2 days. But the case in the Mishnah Zavim saying that in Bein Hashmashos there's a possibility of dividing it in two with definitiveness, which Rabbi Chizkiah denies. Okay, so says the Gemara. That's one kashan Rabbi Chizkiah. Another kashan Chizkiah. Rabbi Chia by Yosef Boy Kami Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Chia by Yosef asked Rabbi Yochanan the final question, and it seems Rabbi Yochanan held like Chizkiah, like Rabbi Chizkiah. He held Man Tano Reiya Nechlekes Lishnayim. Who is the Tano who holds that he can divide an emission in half? Who's the Tano who holds such a thing? They can divide a mission in half based on days. So Rabbi Yochanan answered, Rabbi Yossi. It's Rabbi Yossi. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that Bein Hashmashos, a twilight, is the batting of the eye, right? So if it's the batting of the eye, so that means that if Bein Hashmashos is very short, it's very short, whatever fluttering of the eye means, and you can divide one emission in two. Now, by this we mean even a short emission. We said earlier that a long emission, one which takes long enough to the shear, which you can go down to the mikvah toivim and come up again, an emission like that is divided in two automatically by definition. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying even a short emission can be divided in two, like Rabbi Yossi holds Bein Hashmashos is keharef ayin. right? Because that means that on one side of the eye fluttering, you have one part of the one emission, and the other side of the eye fluttering, you have the other emission. Okay, Amar lo, so he said to Rabbi Yochanan, gotcha! At kashato daitcha, you made life difficult for yourself. In other words, you're asking a kasha on yourself. You know why? That Omar kol harifayin verifayin shebechatzi mild Rabbi Nechemia Safiku. You said that each and every moment in the half a meal of Rabbi Nechemia is a Safik, just like Rabbi Chizkiah said. So now, how are you going to divide an emission in two based on Rabbi Yossi? You never know when's the dividing point. Each and every moment in the Bein HaShemoshos is a question. So you can't divide a Re'iyah in two unless, like Michael said before, unless it's long enough that it extends from before Bein HaShemoshos through Bein HaShemoshos till after Bein HaShemoshos. Well, you know what? That Re'iyah is divided in two anyway. Why is that divided in two? Because it's a long one. It's a one which is long enough to go to the mikvah and come up again. You can never find, Rabbi Yochanan, I caught you. You can never find, Rabbi Yochanan, a short Re'iyah which is divided in two. Because according to you, we don't know in which moment during that 12 minutes of Bein HaShemoshos, at which moment the day goes from one day to the other. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, what you just said, that like Rabbi Yossi, you can divide even a short emission in two, it's not true. I have a kash on you. So Rabbi Yochanan, he was a sharp guy. He didn't take this. He said, here the gears is a little bit difficult to follow. But he said, why? Rabbi Yochanan said, it's not difficult. Amar Lei, and it's Rabbi Yochanan talking again. He says, al kashite, you think it's hard? It's not hard. Like Rabbi Yossi, of course there's a moment in which it switches from one day to the other. And even a short emission can be divided in two. I don't know when that moment is, but if Elio Anovi came and told me when it was, then I would know for sure. So he's saying the fact that I don't know is only because of a lack of my knowledge. But if Elio would come and tell me which that moment is, if it's at minute number 3 or minute number 4 or minute number 6 or minute number 9, then I would know. So every time you ask me a theoretical question. You ask me, is it possible to divide a Re'iyah in two? I'm answering a theoretical answer. Like Rabbi Yossi, it's possible to divide an emission in two based on the fact that it's Ke'erefayin. Do I know when that Ke'erefayin takes place? No. But if Elio Novi would come and tell me, then I would know. Very simple. Okay? By the way, if it's hard to hear back there, we have a chair up here. Come on, can you hear? Okay. So says the Gemara. See, this dot threw me off, but Rabbi Sivitz tells us the way to read this Gemara is Amalei Kashita Shav Elio V'Yomar Zeh Ben Hashmoshes Man Poli. Who would argue? In other words, if Elio would tell me when that moment is, I would have no problem. Then everybody would agree that that's the moment on one side of which is the previous day and the next side of which is the next day. So you can have a short emission on which you can say that it's two emissions. Period. New sugya. Rabbi Chanina, Chavrein de Rabbanan Boy. Rabbi Chanina, the friend of the rabbis, I don't know which rabbis, but he asked the following question. Kamadat Omer Ba'arvis, Nir Shlosha Kochodim. You're saying that by nighttime, even if when you see three stars, Avo Pisha Achama Nisuna Bam Tzarkiya Lailohu? Even though the sun is in the middle of the sky, it's already night. Now this is not, of course, to be taken literally. The sun is not in the middle of the sky. The point is, it's still on the western horizon. There's light. Nonetheless, despite the fact that there's still light on the western horizon, I consider it nighttime. Right? As long as you see three stars in the sky up above, it's considered to be night. That we know. That we've seen already. Three stars consider nighttime. Even there's still light on the western horizon. Okay, we all agree with that? That's given. That's not the question. The question is the next line. So if that's the case, Umar Apishachris Kane, do you say the same thing in the morning? In other words, what happens in the morning? In the morning, if you can see three stars, is it still night even though the sun has started to rise in the east? It can't be. What do we call that after the sun has started illuminating the east already? Amud HaShachar. Nate says later when the sun actually cracks the sunrise. But dawn, it's already dawn. So I have a kasha. You're saying that when you can see stars, even though it's light on the east western horizon, it's already night. That's the case in the morning also. Even if you can see stars, if it's light on the eastern horizon, even if it's light on the eastern horizon, if you still see stars overhead, it should still be night. We know that that's not true. We know it's not true. So it's not parallel. It's not what's the word? It's not reflexive. It's not reflecting at the beginning of the day, the end of the day. Why are they not parallel? I'm Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba said, "Zeres Hakosuf." Ksiv, it says, "Hashemesh yotza la'aretz," when the sun came out on the land, for Lot bought tzora, Lot came to tzora. Uksiv, and it says, "Ubo Hashemesh v'toher." The sun came and it made Uvar Shemesh Torah. The sun came out, and so when the sun comes down, excuse me, then a person who was previously Tameh becomes Tar. That's called Harev Shemesh. Okay, there's a Gzer Shava here. Ma biyosu l'kshis kase min abrios. Just like, when is it considered to be sunset? When the sun becomes hidden from the creatures, after tiyoso, so too when is it considered to be the sun rising? She's vodalabrios, when people become aware of it. So he's saying there's a little bit of a big chiddush here with what's going on, but he's saying everything has to do with when the sun is considered to be part. When the sun is considered to be Let me explain. I realize I made a mistake here. See, that's why I have my sefer in front of me. But I misspoke. Rabbi Abba's taka saying enachanami. Rabbi Abba's saying that you're right. When the sun is hidden from the creatures, that's when it's night, and when the sun becomes known to the creatures, that's when it's day. So you're right. Before sunrise, it's not day. Before sunrise, it's not day. He's saying, just like when the sun is hidden, you're no longer aware of the sun. Even if it's light out, it's night. So too, when the sun rises, even if you're aware of it, as long as you don't see it, it's still nighttime. Okay, so he holds that sun, it's only daytime. Literally, when the sun comes out from underneath the land, when Honetzacham occurs, when sunrise occurs. Let's go to the next Amud here. Let me give it out. So that's one opinion. Amar Rabbi Bar. Rabbi Bar said, no. That's not true. Rabbi Bar argues. And we passing like Rabbi Bar. Rabbi Bar, it's interesting. One is Rabbi Abba. That's who we just learned. Rabbi Abba holds till sunrise, it's not yet day. The other one is Rabbi Bar. So I don't know. Some people say his name is also Rabbi Abba. I guess Abba was a popular name in the old days. So David, I'm Rabbi Bar. Sorry. They're back there, they're paper towels. Apologize. So, only a minor one. I'm Rabbi Bar. Rabbi Bar said, Ksiv, it says...
I'll wait till they get back.
Put two tables together.
Okay. Says Gemara, I'm Rabbi Bar, right? Bar Ksiv, it says, Haboker or, HaTorah Korala or Boker. You don't need to have the sun come up in order for it to be in that daytime. What is it? Or, light. When is it light? By Amud HaShachar, when the sun starts casting light, even though it hasn't yet appeared. In other words, by nighttime, the moment the sun goes down, that's considered already to be nighttime. For a little bit longer, because of Ben Ashmashos, till the stars come out. But even if you have still light on the western horizon, it doesn't mean it's not yet night. But in the morning, because we don't go by or, we go by Shemesh. Shekia Sachama, when the sun goes down, Tseisakol Chaviv, when the stars come out. But in the morning, what do we go by? We go by or Boker. So therefore, or a Boker or. So therefore, whenever the light is apparent, even though the sun is not yet up, Amud HaShachar, when it's apparent, then already it's called daytime.
What did you learn that
from this pasuk? Haboker or. Haboker, how do you define boker? When it's or. This is from, where is it from in Chumash? That's where it says, Haboker or Vehemo Shulchwe, with the brothers of Yosef. When they went back, it says, Haboker or Vehemo Shulchwe, Hemo Chamreim. They left Egypt as dawn was breaking in the morning. Okay?
Also, we have to recognize the Tchelos and the Tzitzis.
That's to put on tefillin. That'll come later. That's not for when it's morning. You can read Kriya Shema even before that, theoretically. Okay? Says the Gemara.
Yeah, right. I mean, he gave what practical effect we want to know when.
When you can be Yotze davening. It's Yotze Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis, I should say. That's what I'm talking about. Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Shmuel, where Shmuel gets another pshat, he says, how do we know that even before the sun rises, it's called morning? Because it says, Baboker, Baboker. It says, you put, you know, the carbonos on his back, Baboker, Baboker. What is the extra lotion, Baboker, Baboker? Why I say twice, Baboker? To give another boundary. The morning itself has got a morning. Whereas before the sun rises, there's already another morning. What's the morning before the morning? From Amud HaShachar. So morning doesn't just start from the boker of the of sunrise, starts from an earlier boker, right, from Amud HaShachar. Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Bun said, he says another reason why this kasha, which Rabbi Chanina asked way back when, he says another reason why it can't be correct. You know, he says, Im litain uvio sharakil alayla. If you're going to say that the width of the sky is nighttime, in other words, that until Hanetzachamo, it's nighttime, Bein Bashar, Bein Barvitz, Bein Bashachris, both in the morning and at night, Nimtseisa Omer, then he would come out, Shena Yomva Lila Shovim. You won't have an equal night and day. If you're going to say that it's always, the from the time of Shkia till Tseis, and from the time of Amud HaShachar till Hanetzachamo are both part of the night time. So then you will not have a day and night of equal length. They won't be the same length. So you have to understand the way they understood how the web. In order to understand this, in order to understand the next few blot, I'm gonna have to tell you how the Yerushalmi originally understood the March 21st, yes. On equal distance, equinox day and night. Yeah, pass this down.
We already know that the Hatzias Shabbos is 25 hours.
Yeah, okay, but it bothers me. He says, I'll get it in a second. But everybody said, listen to me, look at me a second. The way they understood, and this is important because for next few blah, we have to know this. The Gemara B'Sorim brings down Machlokas between the Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Yilmos as to how the sun travels at night. The Chachmei Yisrael held originally, and this is the way the Yerushalmi holds, at night, during the day, let's say at noon, the sun is up here in the sky. Then the sun travels westerly, it's towards its setting. When it sets, it doesn't continue going down, travels straight out, goes straight out. Then, after a certain amount of time, it gets to the other side of a dome and starts climbing over the back of the dome. At midnight, it's over the same place where it was at noon, only it's behind the dome. Then it travels down to the other side of the dome. In the morning, by Amud HaShachar, it's what happens is when you start seeing the light is it's right at the curve of the dome, and then it starts traveling in. When it rises, that's when it reaches the inside of the dome, and then it travels back up again. Everybody got that? One more time. At high noon, it's inside the dome at the highest point. Travels down, right? At sunset, it's over here, right? Then it doesn't go further down. It starts going straight out, right? When it gets to the furthest point out, that's Seitzel Kochavim. Then it starts traveling back up again. At midnight, it's directly above the dome where it was at noon. Then it comes back down to the other side, where at dawn, it just pokes over the side of the dome on the other side, at the end of the dome. It starts traveling on the inside of the dome until you can see it at sunrise and comes up on the inside of the dome. Okay? So far, so good? So says the Gemara, based on this, if you're going to say that the Ovio Shirokia, the distance it takes to traverse the width of the dome on both the morning side, and the Ovio Shirokia, the distance it takes to traverse the width of the dome on the night side, are both part of the night, so you're never going to have an equal day and night, right? The night is always going to be longer, because the night's going to consist of the entire outside of the dome, plus the two widths of the dome. So one width of the dome has got to have to do with the day. Which width do we give to the day? Says the Gemara, the width we'll give to the day is the width which has to do with after Amud HaShachar. That'll be part of the daytime. Got that?
Yes. Nights get longer, days get shorter.
Right, no, that we see. No, granted. No, that...
21st, yeah. It won't happen. Okay, so it'll happen on the
15th. That's what Mora's going to say. Look, Mora says, so he says, Omer Bi'isra Rebuni, Imo Omer Lite Lila, Bein Baris Shachris. If you say that the width of the dome is part of the nighttime, both in the evening and in the morning, then you say so Omer Shena Yomba Lila Shavit. So it'll come out that the day and night are never equal. The time we learn, Be'echot B'tkufas Nisan, on the first day of spring, March 21st, which is called Tkufas Nisan, Be'echot B'kufas Tishrei, and the first day of fall, September 21st, which is called Tkufas Tishrei, Hayom V'Laila Shavit. The day and night are equivalent. So we can resolve that by saying you go from sunrise to sunset, and those days, sunrise to sunset is equal to sunset to sunrise. But in the Gemara scheme of things, with the width of the sky, so you have to take into account, you have to give the Yerushalmi scheme of things, you have to give one of the widths of the sky over to the daytime. You got that? So that'll make it equal. You give one width and one half revolution to the day, and one width and one half revolution to the night. Okay, that's going to make it equal. Okay? Now, this is going to be, the Gemara is going to go on with this for several blot with this assumption. Ravuna said, Nilfina min derech eretz. That which in the morning after Amud HaShachar, this is a new proof, that which in the morning after Amud HaShachar is considered to be part and parcel of the day, is learned from derech eretz, is learned from the way of the world. How is learned from the way of the world? Shari Malka Nofak. Once the king has started to come out, in other words, the retinue has come out. You see in front of Clinton's limo, there are a whole bunch of, the motorcade is coming, you see the first police motorcycles and the limousines which carry the lower dignitaries. Once you see him coming out, I forgot the low Norfolk, even though he hasn't yet come out yet. Armin, we say, the Norfolk, he's out here. He's come already. So that means once Amud HaShachar has come, that's the motorcade of the sun. Even though the sun itself hasn't come yet, it's already considered the sun to be part of the day. On the other hand, Olio, when the king goes into his palace, Lo Omrin, we don't say it's nighttime, Da'al Ad Shaita Diel, until he actually goes in.
right? We don't say king has gone to the palace. In other words, when he's entering the White House, it's not when the first motorcycle gets to the White House that he's entered. Only when he actually goes into the White House is he considered to have entered the White House. So therefore, we don't say that the son is considered to have exited until it's fully gone. When is it fully gone? It's only fully gone at Seisa Kochavim. So you see that? When the sun is coming in, when it begins already to be apparent, when the motorcade starts coming, that's already daytime. When the sun is going out, only when it's completely out, at Seisa Kochavim, then do I say it's gone, otherwise it's not yet nightfall. Okay? Says the Gemara further. Now, this comes out of Bavli has this thing too. The Bavli very often brings down several statements of an Amoira after we brought down one statement, even though they have nothing to do with each other. What the Yushalmi is Mechadish, it doesn't even tell us his name. But we just had Rav Huna say something. Now we have another statement for Rav Huna, which is completely disjointed and not connected to the previous statement. But Rav Huna said it as well. What did Rav Huna say? Zeu she'omedu mispalel, the person who stands at Davids, tzarech lashvos its raglav. You got to put your legs together. Everybody knows that, right? Why do you have to do that? Why do you put your legs together when you daven? Like whom? Like a malach, right? That's what the Bavli says. Yushalmi adds another reason. Says the Gemara, Zeu she'omedu mispalel, the person who's standing at davening, tzarech lashvos its raglav. He's got to put his legs together. Train Amorim. The two Amorim who explained why. Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Simon. Rachad Amar, one said, Kimalachim, like the angels, like the reason which Jeff just said. Rachad Amar, and one said, Kikohanim, like the Kohanim. Where the Kohanim keep their legs together? This is news to me too, right? Where the Kohanim keeps their legs together? Look at this, a fascinating thing. Madam Ar Kohanim, he who learns like it's the Kohanim, Lo Salah B'Malos HaMizbechi. It says, do not go up the steps to my Mizbeach. Now, why should you go up on steps? So, Mechumit says, Lo Sigol Ervos Cholov. Right? So that you shouldn't be able to see up the Kohen's dress. But Yushalmi learns that therefore you have to walk differently. You have to walk like this. One leg next to another. Shohoya mahahu mahachim. Ekev b'tzad godel, v'godel b'tzad ekev. Toe by heel and heel by toe. Toe by heel and heel by toe. They walked the whole time. They shuffled up to Mizbeach. They shuffled up with their feet together. So we say when a person davens, he has to daven the same way the Kohanim went up to Mizbeach. What does that mean? Shuffle up like this, like this, like this. So I guess because, you know, it's a new metaphor for us, but I guess when a person is davening, he's like a Kohen going up to Mizbeach. He's coming close to Hashem, and therefore he has to emulate the Kohanim. Okay? Well, the three steps, it's not just about the three steps back and three steps forward, but yes, based on this, the three steps back, three steps forward would also have to be done like this, together. Okay? Umando Marki Malachim, who says that it's like Malachim, Fragleyam Regali Yishara, this we know from the Bavli. It says that their feet are together like a straight leg. Their feet, they have one leg, which is of course then straight. So therefore, just like Malachim, we put our legs together when we daven. Rabbi Chanina ben Andari, b'shem tendon or whatever, sprained his tendon, so he can't bend his leg. So Malachim, they don't have these tendons. They don't even have joints. They can't bend their legs. They have no springs in their legs, so therefore they can't bend them. They're always straight and at attention. It's interesting. It's brought down another place in Shalom in Shavuos. This story about Dafka Malachi Chavola, bad Malachi, the ones who come and cause afflictions. I guess they're kind of rigid. But in any event, the point is, I think, well, even sounds like more even good Malachim, they don't have the capacity to bend. Human beings are flexible, right? We have free will. We can go up. We can go down. Malachim are inflexible. They cannot bend themselves. They're constantly standing in the same position. Umay Taima, how do we learn this? My Taima here means from which pasuk do we learn this out? Karavta achad mikayamai. Says Daniel that the Daniel saw a vision which he saw somebody coming close to one of the kamayo. And kamayo there means malachim. Now kamayo means, we dash the word kamayo, kayo mayo. They're standing static in one place. They can't move from place to place. They can't even bend their legs. They're kayom, they're standing straight in constant attention, because they don't have the skitzim, they don't have these jointings in their legs. I'm Rav Huna, and here we have another statement from Rav Huna. Zeshiroe, as the Kohen of Beis HaKnesses. Now we don't have this minig at all, but he says, and you hear see Kohanim duchening in shul, Bivracha Rishoina, when they say Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha, you say Tzarech Lomar, you say Baruch Hu Hashem Malacha. Bless God, His Malachim. Bishnia, when they say Yer Hashem Epanav Elecha Vichuneka, you say Baruch Hu Hashem Tzma, bless God, all His hosts. Bishlich is when you hear them saying you say Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Maaseh, bless God, all of His creations. That's when you see them duchening in Shachris. Because you know in Eretz Yisrael, the Kohanim duchen twice. They duchen both in Shachris and in Musaf. That's in Shachris. In Musaf, when you see them duchening in Musaf, Bivrach Rishon Etzorich Loimar Shira Malusine Baruch Hu Es Hashem Ko Avdei Hashem Omdim Beis Hashem Belelos. In the first, when you hear them saying, the first part, you say, bless God, all the servants of God who stand in the house of God at night. Bishniya, in the second, when you hear them saying, Yerashem Panav Elecha Vichuneka, then you say, Suyidechem Kodesh, lift up your hands in holiness. Bishlishis, when you say, you hear them say, the same Lechol Shalom, you say, Yivarecha Hashem Itiyon, God should bless you from Zion. Imayu Arba, what happens if they're four tefillos that day? Four tefillos, when we have four tefillos? Yom Kippur. But in the old days, they had it on any time in the Tzibur. And then the Kohanim would duchen how many times? Four times. They daven in Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah. Four times they would duchen. So then at that point, that case, we have a vestige of that. We still say by Mincha, on a tainus, we say Birkas Kohanim Chazor Sashatz, right? That's a vestige of this minhag. We still say it because of that. That's probably why we say also Sim Sholom. You know, Sim Sholom Tov Avracha. We usually Ashkenazim don't say that usually by Mincha, but on a tainus we say Sim Sholom in Mincha, probably because the expanded Sim Sholom connotes the bracha of the Birkas Kohanim of Yaseh Melchal Sholom, which they used to say during Mincha of Atainis. So he says, in that case, so you have four tefillos. You arba choizet lisoa bikadmeisa. When you say the third tefillah, i.e. Mincha, you say the first set of psukim which you said in Shacharis. Or viisa, when you say the fourth tefillah, which is Nila, b'tinyosi, you say the same set of psukim you said by Musaf. Okay? I'm Rabbi Chatzna. Rabbi Chatzna said, now here we have a new concept. I have to tell you, the astronomers are not familiar with this concept. We have a concept of Ayelas HaShachar. You ever hear of Ayelas HaShachar? It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Lametzeach al Ayelas HaShachar Mizmor LeDavid. Well, nobody knows what Ayelas HaShachar is exactly. But we will tell you here when it occurs. What, Jeff? Right, that's here. That's here in the Yerushalmi. So what's Ayel Sashachar? Om Rabbi Chatzda, Mi Ayel Sashachar at Shior HaMizrach. From Ayel Sashachar until Amud HaShachar, which is when the eastern horizon gets illuminated, Adam Halich Arba Milin. A person can walk 4 mil, which is 4 times 24, 96 minutes, right? 4 times 24 is 96. Another formula. That's the next Gemara. Mishiyor HaMizrach HaChitone Tzacham Arbos Milin. Another 96 minutes. 96 minutes. But they're different shitas. I should make it clear. The Rambam holds that a meal is 22.5 minutes. So therefore, according to the Rambam, it's 90 and 90. And the Truma Sadeshin holds that a meal is 18 minutes. So according to Truma Sadesh, it's 72 and 72. So there are all sorts of shitas. Okay? But it's either 96, 96, 72, 72, 90, 90, or 72, 72. So, says the Gemara, Uminayin Mishiyora Mizrachacha Tonei Tachama Arba Mil. How do we know that from the time that the eastern sky is illuminated until Netzachama is 4 mil, Tichsiv it says, Ukamora Shachar Allah, which says, when the sun began to rise, then that's when, in other words, when Amud HaShachar occurred, that's when stone was destroyed. Rashi brings down the Chumash destroyed when both the sun and the moon were at the sun and the moon are had already impact on the skies. So that those who worship the moon shouldn't say, well, we're the moon to have an impact, that we wouldn't have been destroyed. And that those who worship the sun wouldn't not say that we're the sun to be out, we wouldn't have been destroyed. So that way people could see that already was dawn. The sun had started serving, and the moon was still serving, and nonetheless they were destroyed. So that's when it was destroyed, and that's when Lot started fleeing from stone. At that point, Uksivan, it says, Hashemesh Yotzar, when the sun came out on the land, in other words, at sunrise proper, for Lot brought Tzoharah. Lot came to Tzoar. Umin stone to Tzoar boss meal. And from stone to Tzoar is 4 meal. So he went 4 mil from Amud HaShachar till sunrise. Excuse me? 96 or 90 or 72, depending on how long you hold it takes to walk a mil. We have a machlokas in the Rishonim, how long it takes to walk a mil. Okay? Now, says the Gemara, wait a minute. Yoyser Avon, it's more than 4 mil from stone to Tzohar. So says where the Bavli asks his kasha as well. The Bavli says, yeah, but when you're in trouble, you run quick. So he traversed what normally takes, what is normally, was 5 mil, he traversed in time it takes to walk 4 mil. The Yerushalmi gives a different answer. The Yerushalmi says, Amrei Bezira, Hamal Choy Mekada Lifnei Maderech. The angel went drilling the way before them. So it was 5 mil if you go over the mountains and through the hills. But if you go straight, if you have a malach, which is exploding the way in front of you, you know, leveling the highway, so it's only 4 mil. So he flushed me down. Why don't you say load out of Kfitzas Aderech? He got there quicker. So they say, you didn't want to say that because then the whole proof falls off. We got to have some way to make 4 mil relevant to the situation. So therefore, how do we do that? By saying, as the crow flies, it's exactly 4 mil from stone to tzor. Okay? Says the Gemara, Ukmo. Now, Uminayim Eilos HaShachar Shor HaMizrach HaBos Mil. And how do we know from Eilos HaShachar till Yor HaMizrach is another 4 mil? So it says, well, we make a parallel. Kamo, kamo. Just like this, just like that. Milo Medai Mil Chaverto. It's just like one, the other has to reflect that as well. Yes. But it's not. But as the crow flies, it is. No, it's not because the hills, you know, you have to go up and down and up and down. But if you have a malach who's blasting the way in front of you, that's what Yerushalmi is answering. As the crow flies, it's exactly 4 mil.
They're really interested is the length of time that you take in a person.
Yes. Right.
That's the right.
That's right.
So they're saying there was a nace and then he sort of flew.
Right. But not he flew faster. According to Sham, he didn't fly faster. You're right. Because there's a malach who was drilling holes before him. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. That's what the Bavli says, but that we can't prove anything about the distance between Amuda, how long it takes to go from Amuda Shachar to Nate from Lot. Our whole proof would fall off then, because we would have no way of gauging it from that episode with Lot. Well, no, but then he went quicker, that means. He had a Kitzas Aderach, the Bavli says. That would make, that would bring off the whole proof. The whole proof of four. We have to have a way of making exactly four meal. And that way we can say the distance from Amuna Shacha till Netzach Chama is four meal. Otherwise, we're stuck.
They build the road to Hebron now.
Yes. Now it's not flat. The Malach had to flatten it. If you've ever been in that area in Israel, so it's very, very mountainous. You know, it's where the depression is going down to the Dead Sea. Okay, says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yosi by Rabbi Bone. How Dayola so the Shachra. There's some who say it's a certain star which starts illuminating a long time before sunrise. Kochvasi, Tayo. It's not a star. Zimni di Maktuma, Zimni di Machra. Because sometimes Ayelos HaShachar is earlier, and sometimes Ayelos HaShachar is later. And if it's a star which comes regularly, it should come at the same time every day. Or it's like a mini comet. So it should have a cycle which is exactly the same every 24 hours. But if it's erratic, it must not be a star. It must be the light coming from the sun. Now bear in mind again, just for a moment, what is life of the sun? It's the light. The Ayelos HaShachar they understood is like the light of the sun peeking around the dome. When is Amud HaShachar? When the sun starts making its turn from behind the dome, coming out towards towards the earth. This is Ayelos HaShachar. Is at a certain point before that, you can see the rays of the sun, you know, the light creeping around the corner of the dome. That's Ayelos HaShachar. Okay. But that's a mistake, or that's what Gemara said. Yes, so in modern English parlance, it's translated as the morning star. But he's saying it's a mistake. It's not a star. Okay? That's what Gemara's saying. Again, I don't know exactly what it is, but he's saying it's not a star. No, it wouldn't be a planet either, right? They didn't distinguish between planets and stars. Yeah. My Kadun, what is it like? Kamin train to crooning the Onenor. It's like two spears of light, the soul kimimadincha, which come out of the east, umanarin, and they illuminate. So I guess, you know, Ayeles, Ayala is a mountain goat, which has antlers. So these are like two antlers of light, which come out again from behind the dome, and you can see them coming up in the eastern sky. Dilma, now Dilma in the Yerushalmi means a Maisa. Where does the word dilemma come from? Does anybody know what? What? Maybe it comes from this Dilma. I don't know what dilemma means, but here Dilma, maybe it means I'm just hypothesizing that the word Dilma over here and the word dilemma are associated and they mean an episode or a scenario. So it was a Maisa which happened here. Dilma. It's like Maisa, Rabbi Chia, Rabba, the great Rabbi Chia, the student of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Shimon Chalafta, Havu Mahalchim Bahato Bikas Arbel. They're walking through the valley of Arbel, Bikritzta, early in the morning. Vego Ayelos HaShachar Shabak Ora. And they saw Ayelos HaShachar that its light was coming out. Omar is a very famous Gemara Rabbi Yisai. Omar Rabbi Chia Rabba Rabbi Shimon Chalafta. Rabbi Shechia Barabba says Rabbi Shimon Chalafta. Be Rebbe, the great man. Be Rebbe is like Godel Ador. Great man. Kachi Gulos and Shal Yisroel. So are the Jews redeemed when the Gula comes. Kima, Kima. Slowly, slowly. Koma Shioleches. As time goes by, the kirabo leches, the gula becomes greater and greater. Starts as a small trickle and eventually becomes a large torrent. Just like the light comes up slowly from the east, so to the gula won't come at once. Won't be Moshiach comes down and, you know, all of a sudden redeems Am Yisrael. It's a gradual process. You can understand how this Gemara received connotations in modern times, right? So says the Gemara, where do we see this? My timer. How do we, what's the pasuk which teaches us?
Ki eshe b'choshech, when I sit in the darkness, in other words, before the gula comes, Hashem, gradually, Hashem orli, Hashem becomes my illumination. In other words, as time goes, just like the light comes gradually and as day breaks, so to Hashem comes gradually, like the light, until ultimately he comes and redeems me. And now we have in Yonah the Yoima, Kach b'tchila. So too by the beginning, in other words, in the process of Purim. At the beginning, Mordechai was seeing the gate of the king. Nobody knew anything. V'acharkach. Afterwards, it started. V'ikar homen eselvush v'esasus. Mordechai was taken to ride by Haman. V'acharkach, and so too, and afterwards even more. V'yashu Mordechai Sharmach. Mordechai came back to Sharmach, and while it still wasn't apparent so much, but gradually until the convention came, Chakach Mordechai Yotzim Lifnei Melech Bevush Malchus, then he came out in a greater array of clothing, and not just the Levush Vatsus, but Levush Malchus, and afterwards, Layudi Mois Orev Simcha. In other words, Esther is like a Yelos HaShachar, like Jeff pointed out before. Chazal says more explicitly in other places, so that the Geula came gradually. It wasn't one, you know, bolt of lightning from the sky. So to the ultimate redemption comes gradually, not like one bolt of the sky. Va'atya the Rabbi Chia Rabbi Yehuda. Now we have a Maisa where Rabbi Chia, that which Rabbi Chia was saying, is like this Maisa where Rabbi Chia said all this about this Ayelos HaShach and it's gradual, it goes like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tani we learned, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ov Yosharakia, the thickness of the dome. Remember the dome's got a thickness to it? How far is that? How broad is that thickness? Says the Gemara, Mahal Chamishim Shona. It's a 50-year walk of an average person. How do we know this? Says the Gemara, Ada Benoni Mahalich Arboim Mil Biyoim. Our average person walk 40 mil in a day. From sunrise to sunset, a person can walk 40 mil. I don't know how much exactly. It's about 40 kilometers. 2,000 amas times 40. It's about 40 kilometers. How many miles is that? About 30-some-odd miles. So I can walk during the course of a day. So until the sun comes through the sky, in other words, until as it's going through the sky across the area of the dome, the width of the dome, mile chamishim shana, it's 50 years. Why is that? Because other mile chabos mil, because a person could walk 4 mil in that time. We said a person could walk 4 mil during the time it takes from Muda Shachar till sunrise, right? Which is 1/10 of what he can walk during the day. Well, we know, as Mar is going to say in Hamad Aleph, that the width of the sky itself, the dome itself, is 500 years. The amount of time it takes to walk 500 years. So therefore, the amount of time it takes to walk, the area which the sun, the span which the sun traverses, from the beginning it turns the side of the dome until it continues to break, gets the other side, that's 50 a mil. 50-year walk. 1/10 of the span of the entire sky. By the way, you can darshan this very, very, if you want to darshan this allegorically, there's a lot you can darshan here, right? Because 50 years, of course, is the time of Yovel, right? And 500 is always is a sign of something which is supernatural. Because 400 is the last letter in the alphabet, right? And 500 is something which is above and beyond that. And where is this 500 derived from? It's going to be fascinating. Maybe we'll get there tomorrow. But we will get there tomorrow. Maybe we'll get there even tonight. But let's just finish our quota for tonight. So says the Gemara, Kach Ovio Shel Oretz. Oh, did I skip? So it comes out. The width of the dome is 1/10 of the day. And just like the width of the dome is 50 years, Kach ovia shel oritz, so too is the thickness of the land. Now I have difficulty with this, because the Yerushalmi knew that the earth was round. The Yerushalmi Avodah Zarah, which says the earth is round. But here it sounds like the Yerushalmi holds like the earth is flat. So I don't know how to explain it exactly. It sounds like the earth is flat, and the width of the earth is 50 years width as well. I'm not sure how to explain it. Okay, I really don't know. V'ovio shel tehom, and the width of the depths, again, assuming the earth is flat, I guess this is underneath the earth. Ma'al chamishim shana, it's also 50 years wide. Ma'atam, why is that true? How do we know it? It says, Ayeshva chuka aretz, because we have xeris akasim. It says, he who sits on the circle of the land, uksiv chuka shemai misalech, and it says, then the circle of the sky will go, uksiv chuka chuka pnei tohom. In his allotment, there is a circle on the face of the deep. Tani, we learned. Eitz Chaim, the fascinating Gemara also should be taken allegorically. Eitz Chaim, Ma'al Chamesh Me'o Shona. The Eitz Chaim in the Gan Eden, the Tree of Life, is 500 years wide. See the connection? It represents the heavens. It represents that which is above and beyond this world, eternal life, right? Shomer Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, lo sof dover nover. It's not just the foliage is 500 amos wide, 500 years wide. Ela afilu korso. Even it's the height. Most people say korso means its trunk, that which you cut down when you mow down the tree. But its height is also 500. It's so perfect. It's 500 by 500. For chol piluk mei breishes mispalg mitachtav, and all the separations of the waters from which come from breishes all separate from underneath that tree. Umatam, where's the pasuk which tells us this? For yokeid shosel, it's like the tree which is planted on the separations of waters. So it's all water comes. Water is of course life. Besides that, what does water represent to us? Torah. Where does Torah come from? Eitz Chaim ilamachazikim ba. So all of this comes from the tree of life. All waters come from that water, that tree which is planted on the separations of waters. Tani, we learned. Eitz Chaim echol mishish milagan. The Eitz Chaim is 1/60th of Gan Eden. And the Gan is 1/60th of Eden. There's an Eden which is even greater than the Gan. 60 times the Gan. V'nor yetzim Eden la'ashkos es Gan. How do we know this is true? Because it says, a river comes out from Eden to water the Gan. So we see the Chumash itself tells us that Eden is greater than Gan. How we know it's 60 times greater? It's a cool limud we're about to say. Tom, let me give you the next page before we go on. We're almost finished. Another minute or two. I know I said 9 o'clock, but finished the two blood. Here's that fake. That's the stuff. Here's a couple more. Everybody's got that ham and olive now? Somebody doesn't have yet? Okay, so how do we know that because I'll tell you why. So it says Gemara, Tamtzis kor tir kav shoset. Why is that true? Because if you have a kor, the Gemara says this is an irrigation vort. Right? This is science. If you have a kor, which is the third area, which is of 30 saw, and you water it, the runoff of that area can water a half a saw. There's enough runoff when you irrigate a field of 30 saw to irrigate a half a saw, which is a tarkav. Tamsi's core is tarkav, and a half of the runoff of that which waters 30 saw can irrigate a field which is made up of 3 kav. So we see here what is runoff water? What's the ratio of a field to its runoff? 60-1, right? So if the runoff from Aden can water the Gan, it must be that what's the Gan?
The Gaon is the 60th of Aden. Okay? Now, Gemara goes on and gives an interesting other fact. Kush Mitzrayim, Tamsis Kush Mitzrayim Shoteh. The runoff from Ethiopia is drunk by Egypt. And this is true, because where does the Nile River originate? Ethiopia. So Ethiopia must be 60 times the size of Egypt. I guess the place where the Nile comes from, so all the basins are 60 times the size of Egypt. Mitzrayim, it takes 40 days to walk through all of Egypt. Kush, to walk through all of Ethiopia, which means all of Africa here, Mal Sheva Shanim Vod, it's 7 years and a little bit more. It's really a typo. It's be 6 years and a little bit more. Because since 60 times 40 is a little bit under 6 years. Okay, let's just do one more thing. Do you mind? Let's just see where we learn out the 500 years from. How do we know that the sky is the thickness of the sky is 500 years? Rabbanan Amrin, Kishnei Avos Harishonim, like the years of the Avos. How many years did the Avos live? 175 plus 180 plus 147. That equals 502. How do we know this? Because it says, Kimei HaShamayim Al Oretz. It says, L'mani B'yimeichem V'yimeichem Al Adam HaShem Nishbar HaShem L'Seitz L'Avoseichem Kimei HaShamayim Al Oretz. L'Avoseichem Kimei HaShamayim Al Oretz. The years of your fathers, those are that is the shear of the heavens over the earth. So of course, what do they say about this? They say, if you really want to reach Shamayim, if you want to become a heavenly individual, a divine person, to do that you have to traverse the lifetimes of the three Avos, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Hashem did a chesed. He said, I'll give you an easy way to do it. How do you do that? You don't need the Avos anymore. That would be if you did it in a human fashion. You need 500 years of toil. But this year, this way, I'll give you the Torah. Now, with the Torah, goes much quicker. It's like the shortcut to get to become a divine person, to become heavenly. Okay, we'll stop here for today, and we'll pick it up here from tomorrow. Does anybody want to have a marathon?